Welcome back to Behind the Play. My name is Alex Adams, and I am joined by a man of many thoughts, Kyle Bukauskas of Sportsnet, my colleague. The last time we spoke on this podcast, you were not the host of 32 Thoughts. So I'm kind of curious, like coming from, your background hosting games and being, almost like the reporter, what's it like now being a podcaster? What's that adjustment been like on top of, keeping your normal duties as well?
Yeah, well, first off, thanks for having me. Good to be on with you again. I think this is what, fourth appearance?
Fourth, yes. You're getting up there.
And yes, I hope like Saturday Night Live, there's a jacket that comes with the fifth appearance,
That's good.
exclusive club.
Yeah.
But it's been a huge adjustment. Like I can't sugarcoat it any more than that. I've really enjoyed just learning to work and function in that space and try to navigate all of it. It's been, challenging and rewarding all at once, and getting to work with Elliot on a more regular basis has been a lot of fun too. Interesting at times for sure. Like the hours are obviously a bit different, as we try to be up to date as possible when they drop Monday and Friday morning. But yeah, it's just a completely different medium. And going from, as you say, like working ringside and covering a team or teams or events for so many years on the television side, like I'm just, you're so wired to just present, here's what you know, here's what you've been told. So to now kind of have a little bit more opinion when called for, I'm certainly not going to do it just for the sake of doing it, but to be in that mindset a little more regularly, and to be doing it in a environment where there's a lot of people that listen to it, certainly a lot of people around the league that listen to it. It's just been, yeah, it's been an interesting exercise, because yeah, you want to be, anytime you're gonna put yourself out there with how you feel about a certain topic or something that's going on, you want it to come from a place of thought and research and fact-based type of things. So yeah, just going through all of that has been new for me. And I on top of all that, I'm still figuring out really how to properly prepare week to week, because certainly even before this, you like to have a sense of what was going on around the whole league before, but now it's a whole different ball game. And as I say, I'm Elliot's much more of a night owl than I am. So that's been, having to tweak your schedule a bit in that sense, and also not lose sight of, want to dedicate the appropriate amount of time to, the games that we're covering each week for Saturdays or Wednesday or whatever it may be. So yeah, it's all just been an adjustment, but I think there's it feels like there's been growth along the way, and I just know that there's still a long way to go.
I'm kind of curious for you. You kind of alluded to a little bit of like having almost more of an opinion. And I know prior, when we chatted before you went to 32 Thoughts, it wasn't something that was something you kind of tried. You were pretty comfortable in a sense, just being pretty neutral, telling the viewer what it is and what's happening. What's it been like? Like, how comfortable do you feel now compared to maybe 6 months ago or when you started, about kind of giving a little bit more of your opinion? Compared to maybe, 6 months ago.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's getting there. Like I think it's becoming a little more natural. Yeah, it's just about, almost formulating what you want to say, and to hopefully have it come across in a way that's somewhat digestible. But I think it comes with time. Like I don't think it's something that can happen overnight. I mean, naturally, like as humans, like we're wired to be judgmental and opinionated on everything that goes on around us in our world. I think there's nothing unique about that. But certainly now putting it into a public forum where people can tell you, yeah, that's an interesting point, or you're an idiot, you're dead wrong, which is totally fine. Like it comes with the gig, but I'm never going to be in that situation where you're just shooting from the hip, or, well, I better say something here. So you just go and ramble on about, something maybe not necessarily you believe in, but you're like, there's never that situation. And what I appreciate about doing that show with Elliot, like it's, you want to have your own personal input on certain things, but there's never an expectation, well, you have to say something here just to say it. So I think it's still between the two of us and Dom Shramati, to our producer, like it's still a very an authentic type show that we try to do, that I mean is based, the foundation of it is fact and information, and that of course is what Elliot brings to the table, and one of his greatest strengths of the knowledge that he has and what's all going on. But you know, there's some storytelling in there too, and the fact that, I mean, he's at the rink when he can be, but you know, the amount of times I spent on the road throughout the season, you know, you observe things, you talk to people, you see things in person. Hopefully that all kind of bleeds into to what we try to put out there in terms of our shows every week.
How much more are you maybe getting people around the league, agents, coaches, players being like, hey, I heard what you said on 32 Thoughts and I disagree, or even giving input, or people giving you just even just information about what's happening a lot around the league? Like, how much has that maybe changed for you since becoming a podcast host?
Yeah, a little bit. There's been, you know, sometimes where, yeah, you're not necessarily expecting it, or, and it's not even like a, hey, you know, I heard what you said and you're wrong or nothing like that. But it's more so just like, hey, I was listening to you guys talk about this. And whether that goes anywhere or not, it's just kind of, you know, again, it hits home of like, oh, okay, yeah, like there's a lot of people, certainly, as you say, like those that work in and around the league or are tightly connected to the game that do listen to this. And I know that, I mean, that's you know, that Elliot's brand that he's built, you know, from 30 Thoughts all the way here now to 32, all the years that he's put in. And I've just kind of, you know, jumped onto a rocket ship that was already three quarters to Mars, and just trying to catch up and to enjoy the ride too. So yeah, that certainly has been an uptick. And but even so, like, you know, some of the more, you know, it's a lot of the times it's the stuff that has nothing to do with hockey that we get talking about, like just something, you know, goofy on the side. Or you know, we've talked about coffee on the podcast. You know, that's something that I really love doing, and so I've gotten a few notes about that. So sometimes it's almost, you know, the non-hockey topics that gets the most reaction. And the irony is, like, even, you know, doing my role working ringside, I mean, it's that holds true as well. Like, you put out a what you think is a good piece of information or something you learned from a player that told you at the morning skate, and you're like, wow, this is a really, you know, good piece of you know, something anecdotally or just a good piece of info you put out there, and it's crickets. And then you know, you do something with the Flyers mascot, and everyone's weighing in on it, right? So it's just a good reminder that it's entertainment at the end of the day.
Who's more gritty, you or Elliot?
Let's see. He's I'll give him credit. Like, he doesn't like, he'll try just about anything. He will try just about anything. Yeah. I think I'm very, yeah, I can be very vanilla in how I go about things. Like, I'm not ashamed to admit that. But so I think, but when it comes down to it though, I would have no problem saying it would be a close. It would be a close contest, Alex. You know what? I think we'll let the listeners decide.
How much is it maybe that adjustment to becoming a podcaster just been helped that you had this, long-standing relationship with Elliot? And I remember listening to one of your first shows, and I could kind of tell like that you guys had been on the road together, gone to Stanley Cups, and had just this kind of camaraderie and chemistry that wasn't, obvious if no one knew that you guys were, friends before, and obviously came together with the podcast as well.
Yeah, I think that plays a huge role. And also, like, I was, you know, as dedicated of a listener as anyone, to when Jeff was still hosting it with Elliot, like, since day one. So you know, I'd gotten kind of used to kind of his cadence and what he likes to talk about, and just the overall flow of things. And now, of course, it's not about, you know, you've got to be exactly like how it was before, but at least that gave me a little bit of comfort going into it, of having some kind of understanding, whether as opposed to being, you know, an endeavor that I just was totally foreign to me. So that helps. And as you say, the relationship with him has been, you know, a real important one to me. You know, he's been you know, a mentor certainly early on, which was really neat to be able to, you know, talk to him about certain things when I was first getting started. And just over the years, as you say, like, whether it's, you know, at the Stanley Cup final or other big events throughout the year, where, you know, there's more of us on site, the panel's on site, and just to see how he operates, it's been, you know, that there's a really good opportunity to learn there, and just get to know him a little bit better. So all those things, I think, for sure helped. But you know, until you actually are sitting down together twice a week hammering these things out. That's a completely, you've got to go through that for a while too before some of the stronger chemistry and all that takes hold. Like even just when we, tag team interviews, I think about one of our first things we did together was the Vegas tour before training camp.
Yeah.
And I think about, doing interviews there compared to, I mean, we were in Chicago at the beginning or end of December, beginning of January for the Winter Classic. And we did a number of interviews over there as well. And it felt like, night and day, just in terms of us playing off each other and, just having the overall flow of the conversation. I mean, it helped that we were really lucky with some excellent guests as well. Just in terms of, kind of knowing, all right, he's going to jump in here or little things like that,
Yeah.
that just helped led to more natural conversation. I feel like that's come leaps and bounds from where we were back in September.
I guess my last one just about the podcast, like what's you alluded to it a little bit, but what's the preparation like? Because you're going to be doing a Saturday night game and then you're podcasting Sunday night, maybe in the morning as well on Monday. But what's that preparation like, at least for the podcast aspect of your job?
Yeah, like, well, a big part of it, like, because I between Griffin Porter, one of the other guys that help us out, him and I tackle the thought line together. So I mean, he does like the really hard work of shortlisting all of our submissions each week. So he'll send that to me, and then I go through from there and pick the ones that we want to have on the show for each recording. So that takes a bit of time of A, just like picking the ones we want to have. And then also if there's ones where, I need to find out some information, whether it's a historical type question, if it's a trivia type thing that I just want to have the answer for. So that, it's nice to just have Elliot guessing. We don't need the both of us, because that can only the entertainment value of that drops off in a real hurry. So just little things like that. And thankfully, like our stats department, Alex, I'm sure you've used them in the past here. Like
They're
they are
awesome.
incredibly helpful when it comes to that stuff. So I'm grateful to have that resource at my disposal as putting those together. So that takes time. And then, yeah, you're just trying to catch up because Saturdays and, even Fridays too, like after we put the podcast out that morning, like I'm very what's going on with just the one game I'm working that night. So you're not as taking in information from elsewhere around the league. I mean, it's nice on Friday night you throw on whatever other game that's on just to watch. But so Saturdays or Sunday, sorry, I'm traveling home from wherever I am. So there's time dedicated to catching up and you try to catch highlights of games and stuff, but when there's four or five Canadian teams in action on Saturday, like, and I'm working one of the games, like you're not going to be able to watch all of them in its entirety. Like there's just not enough time in this world to do that. So you try to catch what you can. I mean, obviously having Elliot there helps because he's in studio all Saturday. Like he's been taking in everything along with the rest of the crew there. So yeah, it's certainly you're playing catch up, but at least by the time we sit down, usually mid-afternoon on Sunday or Sunday night, just depending on our schedules, at least you've got a sense of all right, here's where we're at, and you feel some degree of confidence in tackling the topics that were at hand on a given day.
I can attest to this by sitting beside you in the press box in Ottawa, how you have like two, I think they're iPads out. I don't know for sure, but definitely
Yeah, just one iPad.
one
Just one
iPad and
iPad.
a phone.
Yes.
Or, yeah,
Right.
and just watching different games and
I
everything.
know. And it's a tricky thing because, like, trust me, like, I don't love the fact that I've got another game on while I'm at the press box covering the Senators. Like, I would love to just be singular focused
Yeah.
watching the Sens. But yeah, it's tricky sometimes. Like, I remember, when I first started working Leaf games on Saturdays, and Jim Houston was still doing play by play for us at the time. And asking him, I was like, so, Jim, like, how do you watch games during the week? Like you just have like multiple TV set up at home and or are you just kind of flipping back and forth from game to game each night? And he said, he goes, typically like I whatever the game I'm gonna watch, like I sit down and I watch that game. He goes, because if you're flipping back and forth, and I'll never forget this line, he goes, you see a little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing. And it's true, like and I've found that too when I've tried to bounce back and forth, like you don't have a total grasp of the whole story of the game. So oftentimes I find myself like if I could just focus on one game at a time, it can't always be that way, of course, but I find you take a lot more from your viewing experience as you're just trying to watch and understand what's going on with one at a time. Maybe that speaks to my attention span, but
No.
that's what's worked for me.
As a psych major, trust me, we are not built to multitask. So
There
I
you
guess
go.
it's multi-viewing. I don't know what
Yeah.
multi-watching, but I'm gonna quickly kind of do a little bit of like a Canadian team roundup with you. And I think we
Okay.
should start in Vancouver just because wow, a lot has happened. You've obviously been following it with the podcast and everything with Elliot, but I guess just what do you make of the, it seems like the outcome where they pick Miller over Pettersson, at least in terms of trading him to New York, and then obviously got another Pettersson, and then there's another Elias Pettersson, but
Right.
from Pittsburgh. Just what do you make of everything that happened in Vancouver the past, week or so?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like something was going to come. And I'm not convinced that, well, because they've traded JT Miller, well, now like they're keeping Elias Pettersson like forever and ever now, right? Like it was one or the other. I mean, there's still the possibility because it's not till, this summer where now the real trade protection for Pettersson kicks in. So I think, for over the rest of this season, they're really going to be watching of how does his play go? Like how much improvement is there? Does he look a lot more like the one that they signed for 11-6 over the long term, and then make a decision, from that point. I think certainly now it's probably important, at least on that front, to let things settle a little bit and to see, how Pettersson handles things. But like Jim Rutherford, like he's an active guy. Like he's not one to just sit on his hands. So if there's other things out there, and he's another one too, who doesn't particularly care to wait right up until the final deadline of trade deadline to make something happen. If he can get out in front of something, he will. So the one thing for them, like they look a lot better. Like just watching the last week, like watching that game against Colorado last night. I mean, Demko was spectacular. Don't get me wrong. But they were playing just a harder brand of hockey. I thought Carson Soucy coming in and stepping in for the Elias Pettersson on defense there when Miles Wood was getting tangled up there with him. Like that was he was coming off a healthy scratch, a reset, and he looked way more engaged there. Like I thought that was just an important game for him, even for a little moment like that. Like I think that carries some weight. So, little things like that, like brick by brick, they're trying to collect themselves. And, as we've talked about ad nauseam, like through all of this, like it's not like they're 13 points out of the playoffs. They're right there with Calgary still. And so, a result like that against, the Avalanche is an important one. And, you can understand why, that game against Dallas, you're all right. It was the night of the trade. Like it just so many emotions, and they didn't even play poorly, but it just didn't go their way. And then Detroit's rolling. They come into town a few days later. I mean, the big question, of course, is Quinn Hughes and how, what's the outlook for there? Because clearly it's a completely different game when he's on the ice versus where he's off. But at least I will say it's a very short sample size. I know here, Alex, but how they've come out here the last little bit, at least if you're a Canucks fan, gives you a bit of hope that, all right, maybe they've finally been able to put what was such a heavy cloud around them for much of this season, and maybe finally, build something tangible here down the stretch.
Is Quinn Hughes your Norris favorite right now?
Yeah, I think he is. Like, yeah, like if it's not Makar, yeah, right now it's tough to look elsewhere. I mean, the tough part, like Heiskanen was having a hell of a year before the injury. Like now you just never know. But I mean, we'll see how long this absence is for the Vancouver captain.
If you ever look at any of the underlying metrics with Quinn Hughes on and off, it's like the
Oh my
worst team
God.
in the league versus the best team that has ever been assembled. So
Right.
it's
Like, and
crazy.
that's why I think he's going to get some serious heart contention too. Like, I mean, there may be some others around the league where it's going to be tough to knock off, but to be legitimately in the conversation, like that's going to be the evidence as to why he should be part of it. You're right.
And that's the hope for Canucks fans is that you have, one of the five, six best players in the world, right? So if you doubt JT Miller, there's still hope. I want to transition a little bit to Toronto, the team you follow, I guess, in a sense the most, even though you don't live there. But obviously they've been battling with injuries. Marner seems to be out at least, well, he missed the last game. It's uncertain if he's going to play in the Four Nations, but obviously they came into the season with Craig Berube, Auston Matthews is now the captain. The East is quite wide open. Like, I feel I know you've been asked this probably every year for a decade almost, but like, what's different about this team, and like maybe how confident are you that they can maybe avenge some of their playoff wobbles, let's say, from years prior?
Yeah, I mean, well, how confident am I? I don't know. I guess we got to get to April here first, Alex, and get a sense of like, okay, how are they playing going in, and then to get a better understanding. I mean, how are they different? I mean, you know, I would say they're less risk adverse. You know, there's a little bit more simple style to how they play. You know, in terms of, there's a lot of time. Even stuff like, you know, D-to-D passes, like when regrouping, you know, that's way down this year. Like it's more direct under Berube. Maybe there isn't as much puck carrying through the middle of the ice. Like there's a little bit more of a you know, penchant to dump it. And but it's still, you know, I think you look at, regardless of who's behind the bench, fact is, like, the forward group as a whole, there's less scoring depth there than in years past. You know, certainly the last couple where, you know, they push Boston to the brink. They won a round against Tampa. Even, you know, I guess it'll be 3 years ago now when they lost to Tampa in seven games. I think of the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, that may have been the best roster that they had going in. But, you know, I think that's been, you know, a real factor. Seeing like they're not one of the top offensive threats as a team. And it's just, you know, even again, like you're looking at this last stretch where, you know, impressive win against Edmonton over the weekend, and that was because their top guy scored. Impressive win against, you know, Calgary, and that's because, you know, William Nylander took over the game and the power play actually connected. And for all the consternation about their man advantage all year, you know, you look at kind of mid-January on, like they're starting to turn a corner. Like they'd be much more dangerous than at any other point of the season. So that'll be a big thing to monitor, because as you know, in years past, it's the last 6 weeks or somewhere around there of the regular season, it starts to go like that, and then it carries right into the playoffs, and it ends up being a big reason why they're not able to get that the goal that they need at certain points of a game or a series. I think in those ways they're different, and I think it's a big reason why, you know, it's no secret that you know, Treliving is looking for, you know, whether it's simply a center to help, but certainly to bring in some, you know, some scoring assistance here for a team that just lacks, you know, a little bit of punch when their top guys aren't on the score sheet. Where, I mean, they've done a great job when they have been. There's a lot of nights where their fingerprints all over things, but you know, nights that it's not, like, it just, there hasn't been enough of you know, the supporting cast. Like, even like Bobby McMahon has like become one of my favorite stories, and it was so, you know, you saw some glimpses of it last year, and then unfortunately got hurt right before playoffs. But it's just unbelievable the confidence that you see the guy play with. As somebody who, you know, not too long ago was just trying to see, okay, can I even stick in the league here in any role, you know, to say nothing of one that's actually your top six scorer. So, like, you know, you even factor that nice story, and yet they're still real hampered for depth when it comes to offense. So I think that's going to be a, you know, a big thing for them here as we move forward. But you know, between, you know, again, their top guys delivering, and, you know, there doesn't seem to be as much question marks around goaltending. It all comes down to health. But you know, if they have that, I think you've got, you know, a really nice tandem there in Joseph Woll and Anthony Stolarz to give you a chance.
Kind of going to a team that, in my opinion, probably should be maybe the cup favorites this year, in all honesty, and that's the Edmonton Oilers. Obviously, they were, you know, I guess 2 goals away, 1 game away from hoisting it all. It feels like you know, it just seems like a much more calmer team. They're still trucking along, playing good hockey. Came back last night, but you know, McDavid isn't having just like McDavid type year, although he's still incredible. Just what do you think their chances are to go back to the finals and maybe win that other game?
Yeah, they've certainly got a chance, and like they're another team where I'm like, all right, so what's Stan Bowman and company like doing to bolster them? Like, I know we had Jean Prinsipe on at the start of the year on our podcast, and his line was like, okay, who's going to be this year's Matthias Ekholm? Like that kind of pickup for them when they nabbed him a couple seasons back. Like that I would imagine feels like right now is kind of a critical area for them, just to help shore up the blue line a little bit. Like, I mean, they've, you know, Ty Emerson's been a nice story there. You know, Brett Kulak's become, you know, a really good, serviceable player for them. But having another option, I think, wouldn't be the worst thing, especially if you're hoping to, suit up for another 2 month grind. Extra bodies that you can trust and play some valuable minutes with are obviously going to be a huge help for you. So that's the one thing for them and the Oilers. Like it's and I'm curious here now where they're in a position to, contend for first in the division. Talking to them this week and I know like Chris Knobloch has said in the past, like that's a priority for them. Because you look at last year having to start those last three rounds all on the road, and I was talking to Stuart Skinner when I was there in Edmonton last week, and his line was like, if we have game seven at home last year as opposed to on the road, like we really like our chances there. So just having setting themselves up for it's going to be a tough road either way, but to put yourself in that spot where when you're in those tight moments, and if you can say, all right, we're on home ice, and we all saw how incredible the scene was there in that building throughout their run last spring. They believe that's a true advantage to them. I know everyone likes home ice when you can get it, but just thought it was interesting that they were, like not afraid to put that out there publicly, going like, we want a challenge for, winning the division, not only because, winning is better for everybody, but like there's some real kind of strategy behind how it could potentially unfold for them if they're able to go on another long run because they just lived it going the other way less than a year ago.
Do you think, like, going a bit X's and O's and just having the last change when you have McDavid and Draisaitl is like in a sense a bigger advantage compared to like most teams that don't have that duo coming out every second shift?
Yeah, exactly. Like you just like they're going to play huge minutes and just like icing's late in a period when you want to load them up and it's interesting how he's experimented with Corey Perry's played there at times, of course there's Zach Hyman. Like he's gone through like a couple of different looks to be with Connor and Leon at certain points of the game. And as you say, like it's a great point. Like, yeah, the more often you have last change, the more you can use that to your advantage for sure.
I'm gonna go to quickly to the what Elliot always calls your Ottawa Senators. Obviously the East is just crazy. So many teams getting hot, cold. It's just going up and down. But do you, like what are these Senators for real in your mind? Like, do you believe that they are gonna make the playoffs, and also that it seems like they finally kind of almost figured it out? Where it felt like the past 2 years they really hadn't.
Yeah, like it. Because to me, I don't know about you, Alex. Like, it feels like nothing to this point has been smoke and mirrors. Where they're getting, like it's not like they're shooting percentages through the roof, or they're getting like unconscionable goaltending. They've got some really good performance here along the way. I mean, eight shutouts doesn't happen by accident, but it's also like you're playing well in front of your netminders too. And there's been, I think we've seen a large enough sample size to this point to say like, yeah, like they're starting to figure it out. Like even this last week, like Nashville felt like a trap game. Like they figured out a way to win that. And then, a tough travel going into Tampa. And, you made the excellent point, just before we started recording here, Alex, of just like how demanding of a schedule it's been for them. And, there hasn't been much opportunity for rest. And you could tell like they looked like a tired group there, Tuesday against the Lightning, but even so, like knowing how desperate Tampa is for points right now, the fact that you're able to hang on, like you're down Josh Norris, you lose Shane Pinto for a bit. I mean, that's going to be the big one to monitor here. Like, how serious are those injuries? Because that could have some real consequences as we move forward here. But assuming and hoping for their sake that it's not a question of long term, that it's not too long before they're back. Like it's I just look at them right now, like they're a team that plays hard, that has some sense of where they're supposed to be in their own structure. Like there isn't as many like just head scratching moments in their own zone where you're like, how on earth does that guy get that wide open in their own like 6 feet in front of their own net? Like you're just seeing the growth of certain players. I still think they're another team where you'd love to see them add some scoring depth. I mean, you can look at their outburst against Washington and then blowing Minnesota out of the door and be like, well, look, what's the worry? Like their offense is fine. To me, like they're a bottom half team when it comes to goals for. And if you're wanting to get into the playoffs, I think the games are only going to get harder. And for the bulk of that roster, it's going to be the first time that they ever go through something like that. So to have a little bit of extra pop, that can only, be a benefit. But the real fascinating thing to me too, Alex, like for a while there, it was like, oh man, like these wild card spots are just like totally up for grabs. Look at all these teams in the race. And now it's like the Atlantic Division isn't even anywhere close to being settled. Like, is it going to be Toronto and Florida duking it out for top spot in the end? Like, yeah, probably. But for now, you're going, like, we've got a real chance to make things uncomfortable here even further. And Detroit's thinking the same thing. Tampa as well, and Boston doesn't want to stay too far behind. So, just the Atlantic Division alone has been a real fascinating one to watch here over the last month.
I know I've said this to you a lot, but I just hope it's Ottawa, Toronto in the first round. That would be
Wouldn't that be great?
just
Oh, it'd
so
be
much fun.
phenomenal.
Like,
Yeah.
we both know Ian Mendez pretty well, but he was telling me about, like, I was too young, and but just how crazy, like, the media, just it was almost like a circus apparently, when they played each other, I think 4 times in 5 years, I think, before the
Yeah.
lockout.
Yeah, four
So
and 5 years.
that's my I'm hoping for that, because that would just be so much fun. And just to see Brady Tkachuk in Toronto in a playoff game would be quite something, and vice versa, and the fans and the blue and everything
Yeah, it
would
was
be amazing.
wild back then. Like, I mean, think of course all the stuff on the ice, like, the Gary Roberts overtime winner, like the Alfredson hit on Tucker, like the 5 minute major against Domi that changed things in game six. I think that would have been what, 2000, was it 2002? The
I
1 year
think
where it was like
that's
Ottawa
right.
had a chance to eliminate
You're up, yeah.
Toronto at home in on game six, and took a major penalty in the first period and totally took the air out of the balloon. And then of course, poor Patrick Lalime in 2004. But even like beyond that, like oh gosh, I forget the name of who was the mayor of Ottawa back then. Alex, you might know, but like he had like a public like outcry for like he didn't want Bob Cole and Harry Neal doing the Battle of Ontario
Really?
playoff series. Yeah, because he thought that they were
Chiarelli?
too.
Chiarelli? Does that
Yeah,
sound?
was it? Yeah,
Yeah.
was it Peter Chiarelli? Like, it's not that Peter Chiarelli, but it was.
I think so. It's a Chiarelli.
Yes,
I'm pretty sure it's a
you're right.
Chiarelli.
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. It was him. Yeah, he was like he,
Yeah.
and even like Nancy Lee, who's the head of CBC Sports at the time, like had to like gave an interview saying like, we're confident and happy with our commentating crew assignments for the playoffs. Like, we're
Oh
good,
my God.
thanks. But it actually became a story there too. It was
Yeah.
like just wild, as you say.
I know. I do see the my mentions sometimes about Sportsnet and anti, so it still lives on in some ways on the
Oh
web.
my God. Well, even over the weekend, like my boy Kevin getting it from, like it was unbelievable. Everyone's like, well, so BX is saying that it's all Hamonic's fault that Hartman drove Stutz's head in the ice. I'm like, did you guys listen to what he said? Like, can we, throw in a sprinkle of context? I
Yeah.
guess not.
And to be fair, someone on Twitter once called me a Leafs fan, which I thought was like maybe the most hilarious thing. I was like, I'm where, what?
Oh, it's wild. Like, I know, like Craig Simpson gets it every week where it's like within minutes of each other, it's like, you're
Yeah.
such a Leafs homer, like, enough, like, this is terrible. And then, like, 2 minutes later, it's like, we get it. You hate the Leafs. Like, go back to Edmonton. It's like, you can't win. Right. And he's like doing a replay of like a forecheck. And like, it's like, it's just, it's great. Like, it's the passion is fantastic. It's why we get to do what we do here. But sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Okay, before I let you go, I'm gonna go quickly to the Jets, and then a bit on the Habs. Just the Jets. Freege said mobile beef is what they need to get for the
Yeah,
deadline, which I just
whatever that means.
I don't
Yeah.
know. I laughed out loud. Just I mean, they've been winning. They're on a 7-game heater. Like, it feels like they're pretty deep. Like, what do you think they should do, maybe just to bolster their team that's really underperformed in the playoffs the past couple of years?
Yeah, I guess that's the big thing. Like, that's what I'm kind of waiting to see. Like, when the playoffs roll around, like, do they have the ability to like stick to what worked the entire year, or do they go off track like they have in years past and just kind of lose their way? But I just look at like the way Hellebuck is playing, and like you can just tell, like, he's talked about like how good he feels, and just the results that come with it. Like you can see like how much taller everyone is playing because of all that. And like Adam Lowry goes down, like just an emotional leader for them, and they're still getting results. It's been really impressive. I wonder kind of what Cheveldayoff is looking at right now in terms of, okay, like this is where our target has to be in terms of need between now and the deadline. But because I think like you've got such a good thing going there, and it's not built on just one or two guys. Like they're really, as you say, like there's a lot of good balance there. So it's like, understand there's always like any team you can say, well, they can use a little bit more of this or a little bit more of that. But how much are you willing to mess with that? So is it, it's just some adding around the edge, as you say, the mobile beef, which I should be on t-shirts, I think, frankly, at this point. Like I think that should be, there should be mobile beef
Mobile
white
beef.
t-shirts handed out for the whiteout for game one of the playoffs there. But yeah, like it's so I understand what he means. Like he like some big bodies that that
Can
can
skate.
be effective at that time of the year, but also can move. Like it all just kind of adds to and helps complement kind of the way that team plays. Like it's heavy and as you say, like a lot of depth there with lines rolling and yeah, with great goaltending, you have to like what you see there. So yeah, I'm just really curious of like can they hold that form when the bright lights come on in April.
I think they'll probably go all in because with Ehlers likely leaving in the off season and everything, but it's been a fun ride in this household with my dad, watching every game and watching recaps. So, just quickly, last one again. Thanks so much, Kyle. Is Lane Hutson the rookie of the year? I guess that's my one Habs question.
Yeah, you know what? I've been on the Dustin Wolf bandwagon here for a while now, so I'm not moving off of it. So I think Dustin Wolf is my pick. We'll see if Calgary ends up getting in or not, but certainly, the fact that they're staying in the race and how big of an impact and role he's played in that, I think it's tough to say that, as brilliant as Hutson has been. You look at the role of goaltending and the fact that he's come in, the job that he's done. Wolf is my guy, but yeah, Hutson has been incredibly fun to watch. I mean, as too is Celebrini, of course. But yeah, he's been just a wonderful story for them, like coming into the NHL and racking up the production that he has and putting him on the first power play and the confidence that he plays with. And it was great when we were there a couple of weeks ago when Toronto played there on the Saturday night, and they were winning. Toronto had been winning, like both teams were feeling
That was
good
a
about
crazy game.
themselves. Like it just, yeah, like you miss those nights where like both of those teams are in the mix, and it just felt like the game had a little more weight to it. We'll see. I mean, it's too bad that they've kind of fallen off pace a bit. It's gonna be really tough for them to try to now claw their way back with how some other teams are going, but we'll see. We'll see if they can make things interesting. It's just that much better for us.
Is this the best Calder race we've ever had? Like I don't remember. Just three guys, and even throwing Michkov, like just that are really impactful. That like maybe 4 out of 5 years are clearly the runaway, Calder winner, right?
I know. Like, I mean, we were spoiled with like Sid and Ovi their first years. I mean, even like McDavid, Panarin, Panarin is obviously older, a different situation. But I think the fact that too, like you've got three guys, but it's also, and they're three different positions. Like that to me is like the most unique thing of it all. And all equally, wonderful in their own way. I from that standpoint, I can't recall another one.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, thank you so much for taking the time out of your, busy schedule to for the show, and I'll see you at the rink in a couple weeks with the Four Nations. Good luck. Good luck going to Montreal and Boston. And is there anything else you want to kind of plug for 32 Thoughts or anything at Sportsnet that I'm not aware of that maybe you know?
No, I think don't just podcast every Monday and Friday morning, and yeah, we'll see what other content we can try to whip up there while we're in Montreal for a little while there for Four Nations. I know we got one episode of the 32 Cups coffee content, and maybe
Ooh.
time to tack on episode number two. So we'll see. Stay tuned.
I can just see you in a coffee shop with Sidney Crosby. I'm just imagining that, and you guys just going through.
Well, I've thought a lot about where we want to take this thing, and just the idea of sitting down at a coffee shop with like somebody, like a guest of interest, and just talking for a few minutes, and trying to create some content out of that. That's been on my mind, I will say. It's been on my mind. So we'll see where we go with it. But it's been fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and thanks so much, Kyle, for doing this, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks, and thanks again.
All right, be good, Alex. Thanks, buddy.